You hold on to that. That's you. Yeah, so I'm excited about Chinese New Year. We're going to begin to work on the go piece of our Connect, Grow, Go initiative. So I'm wearing my Philippines shirt today to remind you. Philippines, yes. And so the Cebu trip, usually when I sent it out in the communique yesterday, or Evelyn sent it, but I communicated about Cebu is like a vacation holiday spot, right? And it is. But there's a lot of people that live there, and for them, it's not always a holiday. And so I'm excited. We're going to partner with an organization called ICM. And they have a lot of network and a lot of ministry there in the Philippines and other places as well. So we'll partner with them. About a six-day trip. We'll fly down there, and they'll do some training, and we'll go, and we'll build some outdoor toilets. Sounds fun, right? Yeah. The good news is they'll be new because you will build them, right? So they shouldn't be stinky yet. But so we'll build some outdoor toilets for the communities that are there that need that. And so it'll open your eyes. So let me just give you a quick overview. So the idea, when we talk about going as a church, we want to connect with God and with others, right? We want to grow, and we'll talk more about that today as well. But then we want to not just stay in that zone where we're just kind of enjoying club time together, but all of that is so that we can go. Because Jesus said we should go and make disciples of all nations, okay? So this Philippines trip, let me just tell you at the beginning, the Philippines trip is primary level, okay? So if you've never been on a mission trip before, come with us on the Philippines trip, and you're going to get excited, okay? And then eventually, we'll take the next level. There'll be some things that are more difficult, more stinky, harder. You won't get to eat as much. You may have to hike further, et cetera, right? And then there's a third level as well. We'll get to that way later because we're not even to level one yet, okay? So with Chinese New Year, we're going to have our first trip as far as the time that I've been here with you over to Cebu. I'm excited. So more details coming later, but I'm very excited about getting the go piece of what we do as a church. Or we leave, we have to actually use our passports to go and take the gospel to some people who need that. So I hope you'll participate. I think we should max out the number of people that they'll allow us to take because you're just amazing people. So we got people raising their hand. They're so excited right now. Yeah, so people are like, sign me up right now. So it'll be a lot of fun. More details coming later on that. Let me pray about that, and then we'll shift gears into the next phase here this morning. Father, thank you for what you're doing around the world. And thank you for our part. Lord, we have a part to play, even if we didn't know it a week ago or a year ago, and we don't understand all the details of it even down the road. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to walk with you, to listen to you, to follow you, and do the part we have to play in your story. Helping people who've never heard the name of Jesus to hear that name. Helping those who may have heard but don't understand to see it lived out in front of them. And so whether it's here in Discovery Bay or in Cebu or in some other place that's difficult to reach, well, we just ask that you would use us. And so I pray that you'll take this trip and you'll bless it even now. Help the people who you want to go to have on their heart this leading from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in our series called Renovation and Continuing Forward. And it's been a lot of fun for me just to think through this idea of, okay, we're making changes. We're not going to be conformed, but we're going to be transformed. And so when you think of renovation, man, something old is going to have a facelift. It's going to look different after the renovation process. You ever notice that renovation is contagious? So whenever one person renovates something, then the next group, I got to fix mine also. So everybody wants to kind of raise the level because one person starts it. I think that can happen with us as well. When we see people around us who, you know, God does a move in their heart and they begin to see things in new ways. Like, you know what? If they can have that, I can too. And so that's what I'm hoping that God will do in our hearts. Renovation, things can change, and sometimes it's a big change, and sometimes it's a small change. When I think about small changes, I think about this company, right? You remember this? Some of these are your friends, and some of these are not your friends. I know whenever I look at this list, I can think of, okay, the second one, 95, we were friends. 98 and me, we didn't really do much. And then XP, yes, all day long, give me XP. I don't know who did that, but that person deserves their $1 million, right? XP was great. Why did you ever move on? Just keep it at XP. And then we moved to Vista, and then 7, and then here we are, and so anyway. But yeah, You could tell I'm an Apple guy, right? So, but they make changes, right? These slow changes, they have to keep doing that. One is because it's called planned obsolescence, right? If I make something new, then you have to buy that new thing. But also, things change. The surroundings change. The jobs, the needs change. And so you have to adapt. You have to move forward. And so this company is doing that. And so we've talked about a couple of people the last couple of weeks. And so the first week was Moses. We saw Moses and how God said, hey, look, you've been a shepherd for 40 years, and that's been fantastic, but I have something else for you. Being a shepherd's not bad, but it's not what's next. And so just to show you what I'm talking about, what's that in your hand? A staff. Throw it down, and boom, the story changes. And so we talked about, okay, what's the practical thing in our lives that God wants to begin to change as he takes us to a new place? Last week, we talked about Esther and how she was beautiful, but she needed to have a different smell. There was something that needed to change, and so she had this treatment, and she took the time to be even more beautiful. We talk about ourselves. Okay, what is that in our hearts, our lives, that's not quite right, that God wants to spend some time refining and making better? And so as we've talked about that this week, I actually met with one of my brothers. I'm going to ask Tom to come on down. And so I met with one of our elders, actually. We were talking, and he told me a story that I hadn't heard before. So I want him to relate a little bit of that to you. As we talk about making changes, not just, you know, I'm feeling better, but no, actually practical changes. Tom talked about that. So Tom, come on over here, man. Don't be bashful. Come on. This is the spot. So Tom, we were talking the other day, and you said that you used to be a smoker.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about how that is no longer the case. So how did...
During my prodigal days, all the young people here, don't start smoking, okay? I started when I was in grade 8, during my prodigal days. So in grade 6, I was baptized, accepted Christ.
Okay.
I was baptized. And grade 8, then I had a walk on my own, I guess you can say. And I picked up some very bad habits, and one of them is smoking.
Mm.
And I've smoked for up all the way until 97.
Mm.
So I've tried to stop a couple times, and I've gone as far as probably 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And of course, couldn't make it. So in 97, when I recommitted my life to Christ, and it just, God just changed the whole thing. Mm. I mean, if God is doing the work, anything that you struggle with, it can be released. You are able to be released from the Lord.
Mm.
So it's a vice that was in my life that I had trouble with, and I had trouble getting rid of myself, which I can't. And I don't have the willpower.
Yeah.
So the Lord helped me. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. Let's give Tom a hand. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it. So I'm not here today to say that if you're a smoker, then you got serious problems. We're going to bring you down and pray over you. Maybe you want that. But the idea is there was something that he could not change on his own. And then he had this encounter with God where he said, okay, I'm gonna recommit. And then God took him to a new place. God helped him to be set free. And we could go through more examples, and different people could raise their hand and tell stories of other things that you couldn't solve, and then God did a renovation in your heart. And it was practical, and it was palatable, it was real. And so what is that? What is that that God is doing in your life? What's this change that he's wanting to make? Our verse for the series here is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it just says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we need to keep this in front of our minds of, okay, how are we going to move forward? What's the next thing you have for me, Lord? So whenever you look at this verse, I want to focus in for just a second on the two words, this world. This world. Don't be conformed to this world. And so whenever I was looking back at the original languages, I thought it was going to be the word cosmos, right? Because we know cosmos is the earth, the globe, and so on. But it wasn't, actually. It's a different word. The word for this world is ione. Ione. Or you could say kind of like ion, eon, or the idea of age, or they translated it world. Now, why would they use the word world when it's more like an age or a kind of a time period? Because it's not talking about the globe. this chunk of dirt flying around the sun. It's not talking about Earth, it's talking about this age or this world. In fact, when they use the word world, I actually love it because it makes me think about a video game. Anybody here play video games ever? Anybody? Including Candy Crush, right? Words with Friends. Do you play? Okay, hands aren't raised though. All right. Okay. It's confession time, right? We're talking, okay, all right. Let's be honest. And so, video games. So we have these video games, and there's the idea of a world, right? And it's not a globe or a planet. It's just this phase or level, right? You know what I'm talking about. One of the earliest mobile video games, and by the way, the video game world is in a transition or at least a little bit of maybe a fork in the road, because you have like the real video games where you have a station or a computer, right, and you do the video game, and then you have a whole different set of video games that are happening here, right? You know what I'm talking about. And so people are now playing the games here, and it's very different than if you had the full-on deal. One of the first games that I saw on this device involves these characters here. You know these guys? Has anyone ever played this game? Almost everybody, right? This is what we were all doing in 2008. We were trying to get to the next level, the next world, okay? So what's the name of this game? Okay, I thought you would know. Angry Birds. Angry Birds, and how many different versions? They have like 10 versions now. They've made movies about it. But here's what I want to take you all the way back to. All the way back to here. Do you know what this level is? This is level one. This is the one where they teach you how to play the game. This is where they get you hooked, and you never really recover from this game. And they have a little picture that says you pull it back and it launches over, try to hit it in this one spot, and you get the green guy, and you feel good, okay? So that's level or world one. Now, can you imagine sitting down beside someone and on their phone, they're playing this world, this level, and you watch them for a second and you think, okay, you got it. Go to the next one, because that was just a rehearsal, right? That was just training. Go to level two, and they say, oh, no. I like this world. I'm good at this world. I've got this world figured out. I don't need to go to level two. I may not understand what's going to happen there. I may not be comfortable there, but I'm comfortable here on level one, so I'm just going to hang out right here. And they just keep playing this same boring level, this simple level, over and over and over. What would you say to this person? What would you say? Get alive? What would you say? Move on. Anybody else? What? There's more, right? There's another level, and another one, and another one, and another one. And that's what this whole phrase is about here, my friends. That's what this is saying. Don't be conformed to this world, this era, this age, this level. There's more. Get alive. Move on. Don't be conformed. Don't get stuck here. It's going to pass away. Man, we put down our roots into this level so deeply that when the Holy Spirit calls, hey, I have something more for you, we're like, oh, no. I can't do that. I'm comfortable here. I know how this level works. And he's like, okay. Don't be conformed. Don't get stuck in this world. So how do we know? How can we make sure that we're not? So how do we know? How do we test to see, am I conforming to this world? Am I stuck in this level? And I would say, let's just do this, the 1,000-year test. The 1,000-year test just says this, is what I'm so fascinated by, so interested in and focused on in this moment, going to matter in 1,000 years? And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it is a video game that you're so focused on. I got to beat that friend, beat that score, beat that whatever. Is that going to matter in 1,000 years? Maybe it's all about your appearance, your attire, or maybe it's, some of these rewards, or maybe this certain level of your portfolio or the arrangement or whatever it may be, is that going to matter in 1,000 years? If the answer is no, then you're getting too focused on this level, this world. Don't be conformed. Don't get stuck. It's a pretty different way of thinking, right? We don't normally wake up and say, okay, 1,000 years, no. 1,000 years, no. 1,000 years, yes, okay. We just don't do that very much. I heard a story recently about a guy who, he was part of that plane that went down in the Hudson River between New Jersey and New York. You heard, maybe you've seen the movie Sully. So he was on the plane, and obviously that he survived. And so after that, you know, the people who survived that incident, they have started their life years, the count over again. And so like, okay, every year I have one new year of a life that I didn't think I was going to have. And so they continue to count. But this one guy, he said, my perspective is totally different, and I don't think about or care about or work on the things I used to care about. He's totally different now. And that's what I'm saying. What's it going to take? Do you have to be in a near-death experience before you'll finally care about what really matters? Or can the Holy Spirit whisper in your ear and you be open in the moment and say, okay, I see it. I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to move forward. I'm going to take the next step. And see, if that's to happen, changes have to take place. And so if we're just stuck in our comfort or stuck in our rut, then we can't move forward. But God wants to take us to a new level. And so we always ask this question. Oh, here's the verse. Again, this is so beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, those who are in Christ, anyone's in Christ, is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. There's this trading where we have to be willing to let the old go so that God can bring in the new. We have this graph where we just ask people to look at this and say, where are you in this relationship with God? Where are you? Are you moving forward? And so we have the initial connecting that has to happen. And then you should be growing. You should be growing through the rest of your time, closer and closer to Christ. And so we've talked about how for these moves to happen, different activities will be the step. And the first step is belief. So you have belief first. You have this belief that Jesus is who he said he is. He's the Son of God and he died for me. And once you have faith, then you step from being a non-Christian to being a Christian. Or maybe you need to begin to use the disciplines or take the habits, reading God's word, spending time in prayer so he can take you to the new place and he can grow your faith to a new level. You can be close to Christ. Or then the surrender level, which no one likes. No one likes to just say, okay, I give up everything I care about, and I trust you with everything. But at the end of it, we're always thankful because we find out that what he has is better than what we had before. His plan for us is better than our own plan. So we have to be willing to surrender. This last slide, I've changed the names of the different categories. And I've said, hey, let's just be practical about what really is happening with people in the spiritual realm. And so a person who's not yet taken this step of belief is dead spiritually. Dead. And so we need the Holy Spirit to call them to life, to say, hey, this is real. And so the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And whenever the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, we have to say yes and respond. And then once we do, then we become a baby, a spiritual baby. And churches are filled with a lot of babies. We've taken that step, but we haven't ever been called forward to the next thing. Okay, let's move forward and become a spiritual teenager. Your voice cracking and everything, right? But at least we're growing, we're moving forward. And then finally, as God moves in our hearts and he's gracious to us, we can move into adulthood where we say, you know what? God, it's all about you. And isn't that how it is as adults? Whenever you have your own children, it's not about you anymore, right? You have to get up in the middle of the night. You want to be in bed, but this baby's crying. And so it's not about you. You have to go and take care of them. And you've surrendered your own comfort for someone else's. That's what happens whenever we become spiritual adults. We're not about our own anymore. We're about being given, being spent, being used, just like Jesus. And we find there's actually more joy in giving than in receiving. So where are you in this renovation process? Well, today we're going to look at a guy named Peter. We're going to look at his process and his journey. And this guy is fascinating. And so his journey is a little bit like if you look at a stock chart. Right? The people, anybody here, you look at stocks all day long, right? So you have this chart of how it's been the last month or the last 3 months or the last 6 months or year, lifetime, whatever. And it just goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And so whenever we think about, you know, our spiritual life, there is this progression as we go through. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So in our spiritual life, that's what I mean here, in our spiritual life, once we have faith and we begin our relationship with God through Jesus, then we're on the page, okay? Like I said earlier, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus spiritually, you're dead. So you're not even in the life category yet, okay? But God wants you. He wants to invite you into that. Maybe today will be your day. But then we're on the page. We're in a relationship with God, but there's an opportunity to grow closer to Him, to have more and more life, more and more interaction and intimacy with God. But we're here, okay? So then you know how this works, right? You have some positive experiences where you're listening to God and you're obeying and you have faith and He takes you to a new level. And that's like, oh, that's great. And then you have a day where you're like, oh, I'm going to do some of my old stuff again. And you don't do so well, right? And then you have a day where you're like, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel it today. So then you're down again a little bit more. And then the Holy Spirit touches your heart. You hear a song or whatever. You say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. Boom, another good day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is this true? Yeah, right? Okay, so you know. So some days are down, some days are great, and then you have another one in a row, like three in a row. Wow, I need a medal. I've had three good days in a row, right? So it's just up and down, right? So this is kind of how it goes in our life. And we understand this. We understand this. And God knows this about us. He knows that we're made of dirt. So I want you to look at Peter's story, okay? So here's Peter's graph. One of the things that's fascinating to me about scriptures is it gives us so many mistakes that Peter makes. I don't know that there's another person in all of scripture about whom we know more of their mistakes. I mean, this guy messes up over and over. I mean, look at all these down, 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 right? So all these different ones, and I'm not going to take the time to read them, but there's a chart here of all these different things that he did. But what I want to do is I want to start with his first victory. So I want to look at that together and see his first victory. We'll come over here in a second and visit his next to last failure that we know of in Scripture, and then the victory that follows that, and then we'll look a little bit at the end. But I just want to look at his story for a little bit. So basically, here's what I want you to know. If you feel like this is your story too, you're in decent company, right? The Apostle Peter had ups and downs. But you notice anything at the end of the chart? We'll get to that in a minute, okay? But if you have a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at his first victory. Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 here. Luke 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. This is Jesus teaching. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he said to him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. All right, so here's the picture. Jesus is teaching, and there's people all around him, and so it's getting tight, and he's getting pressed down to the water. And so he just says, you know what, I got an idea. He gets in one of the boats. He creates a little bit of separation, and then now he has more of a amphitheater type view where he can teach the people, more people can see him and hear him and so on. Brilliant move, but he needed a boat. He chose Simon's boat. Okay, so now he's been teaching. Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Okay. This is a big deal. What were the guys doing before Jesus got in the boat and was asked to have a little bit of space there? What were they doing? You remember? Verse 2, they're washing their nets, okay? When do you wash your nets? When you're done, when you're finished, okay? So the guys have been fishing how long? All night long. Man, you guys are with me today. I love it. The cooler weather's helping. Thank you, Lord. They're awake when it's cool. So they've been awake all night. They've been fishing, fishing, fishing. No luck. Let's clean the nets up. We'll try again tomorrow night. This weirdo gets in my boat and borrows it for a minute, right? Okay. And then he says, go out and try again. What has to happen if they do that? They got to come back in and start over washing the nets. Basically, the last three, however long hours, just delete all that and start over. Okay? That's what Jesus is basically telling them to do. These guys are like, we're the experts. We've been fishing. It didn't work well, but okay. All right? Smart move on their parts. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. So they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus That was a pretty good day spiritually, because what he did is walk away from everything. He was a fisherman. Not only was he a fisherman, but he had boats, and then now he has a ton of fish in those boats, and he says, you know what? I'm going to do something new. Huge step of faith. That was great. Good job, Peter! Right? But then after that, then we know that he didn't understand or really ask about the parable of the soils. And then he was thinking about the yeast of the Pharisees. He thought it was about real bread. And then he kept the children back from Jesus. Like, no, children, no, you can't come to Jesus. So those were bad days. Then he had another good day where he goes out. So there's all these different things woven in together that we see from Peter. All these different things, the ups and the downs, the good days and the bad days. But we see that amazing day at the beginning where he says, you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go with it. And so a man who was really good at casting the net, really great at fishing, now he's doing something totally different. But God's going to use those skills in a different way. And so the ups and the downs, he can make it through. You've seen these before. But here's what we have to understand. The renovation process is an ongoing struggle. So you're like, amen. I know this is true. It's an ongoing struggle. Every day we decide, right? Every day we decide, am I going to follow Jesus today or am I going to do what feels good to me today? It's this ongoing battle every single day. What am I going to do? In Romans 7, Paul captures it this way. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. And he goes back and forth just talking about the struggle, this battle every day. Anybody understand this battle, right? I know I should do this, but that's the last thing I want to do. I'm going to do anything else. You know, I got this report this morning. I hate these reports. I got this report from my phone. It told me how many hours I've been on the phone. Anybody else? Was that today? Anybody else get that same one? Like, I don't like you anymore. Like, I don't think that's even possible, what you just told me, because I'm not hardly awake that much, right? What are we spending our days on? What are we choosing to use our life for, to give our life toward? And so many times, it's anything besides the thing God wants us to do. And so in Romans 7, Paul says, look, I have this battle back and forth of what am I going to do? And then I don't do what I want. Romans 12, 1. Our theme verse is Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. The verse right before that, he says, I beg you, I appeal to you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, what's the difference between a living sacrifice and a dead sacrifice? Anybody know? One of them's still alive. Right? So here's the reality, right? So pretend that this is the altar. Okay? It's a sacrifice. Okay? So if I'm going to make a dead sacrifice, I kill the animal, and then I put the animal on the altar. The animal's not going to run away. Okay? What if I put the animal on the altar alive? It's not staying there. And so whenever we put ourselves on the altar, we're quick to jump down. We're quick to run off and do something else. And he's saying, no, but to be a living sacrifice, it's difficult. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live. But it's not me, but it's Christ living in me. This is difficult. It's difficult. Peter had a hard time, and he was an amazing guy. So don't feel bad if you have this same struggle. In Galatians chapter 5, we hear about the struggle between the spirit and the flesh. It's back and forth and back and forth. By the way, I want to just capture, this was said earlier today as well. So we looked at Romans 7, where he says, you know, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do what I should do. There's this battle back and forth. At the end of the chapter, he says, who's going to rescue me? Who will rescue me from this body of death that I'm stuck in? And he talks about Jesus and how he's not stuck under the law. But look at verse 1 of Romans 8, the very next chapter. Here's verse 1 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So again, I want to give you some encouragement that if you're on the page, you're okay. The question of life or death has been settled. Jesus has paid for you. Now it's just a matter of walking through your days and getting as close to Christ as you can, not believing the lies of the enemy, not submitting to the chains of Satan, but living in freedom and abundance, having the life that he wants for you. So yes, going back to this question of this appeal, hey, give yourself as a living sacrifice. Another one, Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. It's not me, but you're living in me. So it's a game changer for Peter whenever he finally gets to this one point in his journey. So you can see this over here. We talked about it a second ago, right? You see a lot of ups and downs, right? A lot of ups and downs, and ups and downs. And then there's something that happens right here for Peter. And then there's just this, basically. We only know it's recorded one mistake after that, okay? Anybody know what happened right there, maybe? Pentecost. Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And look what happens, right? He still makes mistakes. By the way, anyone here that has the Holy Spirit, do you still make mistakes? Even after the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you still make mistakes. But he's there. He's inside of you, the power of God in you. Look at Peter's journey. Look at the up, 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 up. He still makes mistakes, but in general, it's a different game. So if we're just trying to do this on our own, we're going to look like the first part of Peter's life, probably more down than up. But if we will surrender to and follow the Holy Spirit's leading, it's a whole different game. Game changer for Peter and game changer for us when the Holy Spirit is invited in. And maybe for you today, that's the renovation that you need. Okay? So Scripture makes it very clear that you cannot even be saved without the Holy Spirit. Okay, because if a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he's not a Christian. Okay, you can't belong to God without the Holy Spirit. But there are these times, clearly, when the Holy Spirit moves and he takes over us in a new way. And so there's this new indwelling, or this new outpouring. Some people will call it a baptism. There's this new experience where the Holy Spirit takes us to a new place. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've trusted Christ and he has sealed you. The Holy Spirit is there, but you haven't given him much freedom to move around in your life. You've got him boxed out. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to push his way through. But maybe today it's a matter of saying, you know what? Not in the room, but in me, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I think when we sing that song, we think about, hey, Holy Spirit, come in here and mess with that person. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here to touch them. No, no, no. What we're saying when we sing this song is, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come fill this place and change the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. So will you take this life and transform? Will you do something different? And I want to take just a second and ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to come back. We're not finished. I'm sorry if you think we're done. We're not. But I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to have his way. Holy Spirit, thank you. You are God. And we don't get to tell you what to do. We respond to your leadership. But I just pray this morning that if you have something new to do in some hearts, that you would make that clear. I thank you that that's always your heart. And so I pray that you would reveal, that you would touch, that you would move, that people would get to experience something new and something different, something fresh. So have your way. Help us to open up our hearts. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So even with the Holy Spirit, we will still make mistakes. There's no question about it. We will still slip and fall. But what will we do after we make the mistake? What will we do afterward? You see, I think so many times we have a bad day, we have a bad week or a bad month, and then we're just too ashamed to go back and interact with God again. We're too ashamed. We're thinking, okay, God can't forgive me for this. I must be a bad person. And this is when the enemy comes in. He's throwing the darts at you, and he's whispering in your ear, and he's putting these thoughts in your mind of, now it's too late. You've done too much. God doesn't want you anymore now after that. So you might as well just quit. You might as well just give up. I want you to watch this little video here, this track event. There's four gals running in this race, and just watch and see what happens.
The 600-meter underway. Heather Dorner to Minnesota finished second in this event a year ago. She was in lane four.
And Dornan is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she's only won one Big Ten championships in the 2 years.
Three laps in this event, 600 meters, three times around the 200-meter track here at the Fieldhouse.
What a bold move by Fallon. She's looking very confident, and the Penn State runner is just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking fourth overall.
That's Fondor moving into the lead, a sophomore from Penn State. Dornan running second.
Dornan last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship, so they're really relying on getting a lot of points from her this weekend, and she's just coming by Fondor now in the home stretch, heading into the bell lap.
Dornan falling down, gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornan is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fondor, and she may catch the leader.
Wow.
Wow. She's got Fond.
This is a gutsy effort by Dornan. Can't you pull it off? She's moved into third. Dornan coming down the stretch from the outside. Dornan coming on strong. Dornan all the way. Dornan. Yes. She did it.
Wow.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That is amazing. To fall in a 600, I mean, this is basically a sprint.
That's crazy. I've seen that video multiple times, and I still just tear up thinking, oh my goodness. See, for her, it wasn't fall, right? She fell down, and then there's this adrenaline rush. Like, oh yeah? And she gets up, and she wins. But this other guy took a plane crash. Where he almost died, to kick the adrenaline and to say, okay, my life is different now. What's it going to take for us? Can you listen to the Holy Spirit when he calls to you and says, look, I have something more for you. There's so much more. Don't stay in this little level. There's more. You see, I'm afraid that maybe one or two or 20 or 50 of us we've kind of slipped a little, and we've kind of gotten into a rut, and we're thinking, okay, this is where I am. And the Holy Spirit's saying, no, come on. Come on. Get back up. Let's get in the race. See, this is what I love about Peter. Scripture gives us all these mistakes that he makes, but then he gets back up over and over and over again. I want to look at one of these as we finish here, John chapter 21. If you'll turn over there quickly, we're going to look at this situation where we see Peter be Peter, and a great example for us of how this transformation has to continue on. John chapter 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Quick context. Jesus has died. He's come back from dead, but now he's not just hanging out with them. He appears, and then he disappears. And then he hangs out with them for a while, and then he's gone again. So the disciples are excited and confused, and they're not really sure what to do. in this season. We're like, okay, what's happening? So that's the situation we get into in John chapter 21. Verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Six guys. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Sound familiar? This is this one. Why is this a downer? Why is it a downer for Peter to go fishing again? Anybody? That's the old life, isn't it? That's the old life. Like, look, I've called you out of that. We've done 3.5 years of training, and you're going back to that again. Anybody ever tempted to go back to the old life? Something's going on, something's difficult. You're like, I'm just going to go back to, no. But Peter did. Not only did Peter go, but five other guys went with him, okay? Maybe that Jesus thing was just a phase, it was a cool phase, but let's just go back to reality now, and we'll see what happens, right? They caught nothing the whole night. Verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Okay, so I'm not a fisherman. I haven't done this, but I've heard stories of how this works. All right, so we're in the boat, okay? Are you with me? Still with me? Okay. They're in the boat. If you're right-handed, and many of us are, the smart people are not, but many of us are right-handed. If you're right-handed, it's easier to throw the net this way, out the left side of the boat. Okay? So if you're fishing, you're probably going to throw it out this way because you get a lot better spiral on the net. You get more distance and more chance of catching the fish. Okay? So that's your throwing off the left side all night long. Okay? And then there's some guy on the shore. He's like, hey, guy, cast it off to the right side. Like, what? Once again, Jesus is saying to do something that they don't want to do. It's a change. It messes up their schedule, right? Because the mast is here, and there's not a good spot. So now you have to either do it left-handed and have a floppy throw, right? Or you have to go to the front of the boat where it's a little more wobbly, and now you're trying to throw off the it's just weird, right? Throw off the right side. But look at what happens. They say, okay. Cast off the right side, you'll find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Huh. Verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. John, the writer of the book's like, we've seen this before. We've seen this. It must be Jesus. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. Peter, throwing himself into the water to get to Jesus, is this bump here, back up again. See, the first time, he got to the shore first, and then he's talking to Jesus. But this time, he's like, I want to get to that guy as fast as possible. I don't care about the fish. I'm not waiting until we get to shore. I'm going swimming because I want to get close to Jesus. This huge act of faith we see from Peter. And so he would make a mistake, and then he would bounce back. He would fall, and then he would get back up again. So as you're going through this transformation process, this renovation in your heart, get back up again. There will be days that you make mistakes. There will be days that you fall. But he still loves you. He still forgives you. He has more things for you. Get back up again. Get back up. Get back in the race. Continue on. Experience the life he has for you. Will you bow your heads? Will you close your eyes? Maybe this morning you need to take that first step. The first step of saying, Jesus, I believe. I've heard for a long time, but I haven't taken that step myself. And so today, Jesus, I trust you. I know I'm a sinner. I can't fix this guilt, this shame from sin on my own. But thank you for your death on the cross, your resurrection, your power over death. And so I trust you today, Jesus. Maybe that's your step today. If that's you, I want to encourage you to take the step. If you have questions, come and talk with me. Talk with one of our prayer partners down here at our response prayer time afterward. They would love to pray with you, to begin to talk some more if you have questions. And so after the service, they'll be happy to pray with you over here. If you're thinking about trusting Jesus, taking that step of believing. And maybe you're a Christian, but you've gotten tripped. And it looks like the race is going on without you, and the temptation is to say, you know what, I tried. You know what, it just didn't work out. It must not be meant to be. And I just want to appeal to you, encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you and says, get back up. I'm not finished with you yet. There's more. There's a new level. There's a new world. Get back up. Let me help you. Let me give you the power you need. And so, Father, I just pray over my brothers and sisters. I pray over those that I believe will be soon, my brother and sister. You help each person to take the step that you have for them this morning. Not to put it off till next week or next month, but today, experience the salvation you have for today, the freedom you have for today, the power you have for today. Help us to obey and receive life that you want to pour into us. Lord, I don't know what that may look like. It may be an ongoing habit, like we heard about earlier, that a person's been trying to kick and they just can't. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's something totally different. Calling to a new level, a new place, a new world. Give us courage. Help us to be obedient. Powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So as we finish the service, we're going to have a time of giving. But I want to encourage you, after we have the giving, we'll have a closing song, we'll have a benediction. There are people down here that want to pray with you. They want to be able to take these burdens that you're carrying and share that and take it to our good Father. So I want to encourage you, if you have anything to pray about, please come down. Nobody's going to say, oh, look at that person. We'll be happy, actually. Maybe a little jealous. Come and enjoy the prayers of the people over here after the service is over. Let me pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for the gifts you've given. So many blessings that we really don't even understand how rich we are. And so now as we have a chance to give back to you a little bit for your kingdom work, I pray that you'll bless those that give, bless those that will benefit from it. May your kingdom advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand? We'll have our offering as we continue to worship.